I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Morning Invest, everybody, the only progressive business morning news show that cares about you keeping more of your own money in your pocket, helping you to live a comfortable life, and keeping that money away from those Wall Street vultures. That's what this show is all about. So welcome into the show. We're going to be covering some stories you probably won't see on the mainstream media anywhere else. We'll be talking about Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court vote, which is could happen any moment, and she could be sitting on the Supreme Court as early as tomorrow. We'll be covering that. We're also going to look at that 60 Minutes little dog and pony show last night, pretending to do real journalism, interviewing President Trump. Most of the media will focus on President Trump getting up and walking out of the interview. But there's another interview that they did last night that I want to look a little bit more closely at, because I think this is important for the future of our country. So we'll look at the other interview that they did last night with Kamala Harris, and we'll talk more deeply about that. We're going to talk about GoFundMe this morning and how Silicon Valley is pretending to care, but you just have to pay them 5% so that they can help other people get out of debt and pay their bills. Thanks, GoFundMe. And we're also going to talk about Wall Street. A new article this morning basically says in the Wall Street Journal, yes, Joe Biden is great for business. Wall Street caves. They're all in the tank for Joe Biden. We'll be looking at that and your viewer feedback questions this morning. We've got a lot of questions from our viewers. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, keep it to 30 seconds or less. Could be anything. You can talk politics. You could talk about your finances. You want to refinance. You want to buy a house. You want to invest in real estate. Let me know. Drop me a 30. Try to keep in like 30 seconds or less. Just go to morninginvest.com. You can sign up for our daily newsletter right there. And then over on the right-hand side of the page, there's a little tab that says voicemail. Click on that and you can leave us a 30-second question so that we can answer them right here live on the show. So Grover is here, passed out in his new favorite sunspot. After I ran him this morning playing with many, many other dogs, so he is exhausted. All right, let's talk about the 60 Minutes show last night. So, you know, CBS pretends to be a group of journalists, and 60 Minutes pretends to be a group of journalists, and they won't, according to them, they won't touch a story unless they can verify this story internally. But of course, we all know the story with 60 Minutes and how even when they can verify a story and then their corporate lawyers come downstairs and tell them to not do the story, they just ignore certain stories. Like talk to Lowell Bergman, of course, who used to work at 60 Minutes. When he was taking on Big Tobacco and that famous story, which was turned into an amazing Michael Mann movie starring Russell Crowe, who played Jeffrey Wigand, taking on the Big Tobacco in 60 Minutes. Basically, their overlords basically said, don't do this. Don't do the story because we don't want to get sued. We don't want to get sued. And run by billionaires, by the way. Of course, one of them who just passed away just recently, Summer Redstone. But, you know, that CEO ship right now is vacant. I guess his wife is kind of running the show until they fill the ship over there at CBS Viacom. But the mainstream media is going to spend their mornings. I was watching some of the other morning talk shows this morning. They're all spending their time talking about Trump storming out of the interview with Leslie Stahl. So, yes, we can show you some of that if we want to, but I really don't want to because everyone else is doing that, and that's what the mainstream media will do. No, there was a far more interesting interview last night, though, on 60 Minutes, and it was with Kamala Harris. And, you know, Nora O'Donnell basically going after her using right-wing talking points, framing everything almost as if the Trump campaign had written her questions for her last night. That you're a progressive, you're the most liberal senator in the United States Senate. How does it feel to be so liberal? Are you a socialist? Well, it's not true at all. But so asking her these questions about how she would vote, how will she try to change Joe Biden in any kind of way? Will she try to push him more left? Or is she going to try to go more towards the center like Joe Biden? So let me play a little bit of this because I think this is incredibly revealing. First of all, about the state of the media. I was infuriated watching this whole interview that you couldn't have this sort of independent journalist coming up with her own questions. It's almost as if someone wrote them for her, these kind of talking points. And then to watch Kamala Harris basically run away from the very policies that, in fact, arguably are some of the most popular policies in the country that could help the American people on climate change, to affordable to health care for all, Medicare for all. No, running the opposite direction, laughing it off as if it's some big joke. Wasn't a joke, though, when you were out there talking about universal basic income, during the pandemic, and also health care for all and supporting a Green New Deal. Your boss, Joe Biden, doesn't support that. I'm just going to laugh it off. So here's a little bit of this back and forth last night between Nora O'Donnell, pretending to be, an independent, clear-eyed journalist over there working for the billionaires at CBS. And by the way, they'll probably try to take this video down. There's been a lot of that going around lately, trying to, they don't like us talking about these types of things. So they end up killing off videos. They end up taking you down. But we're going to continue to do these stories, and I've already had a couple of videos that have been blocked. They don't want to share in the truth here. It's true. In fact, I'll jump in later in the afternoon and see that one of my videos has been blocked. Corporate media. CBS has tried to stop me from doing another video before. Truth. So we'll see if they block this one. At least you're live. You get to see it live. So here was 60 Minutes last night with Nora O'Donnell interviewing Kamala Harris. And just watch this.
You're very different in the policies that you've supported in the past. You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage. But
yeah. Well, actually, the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator. You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for all. You've supported legalizing marijuana. Joe Biden doesn't support those things.
So you're getting your talking point. Right wingers basically wrote these talk. You're more lefty than Bernie Sanders. She's to the left of AOC. Really? She's more left than Bernie Sanders. I mean, this is exactly out of the Trump playbook right now. This is why he's losing the election, by the way, because he thought this line of attack would work and people can see right through it. You're the most liberal. You're like a socialist. How do you even get up in the morning? You're like a socialist. It's not true at all.
So are you going to bring the policies, those progressive policies that you supported as senator, into a Biden administration?
What I will do, and I promise you this, and this is what Joe wants me to do, this was part of our deal. I will always share with him my lived experience as it relates to any issue that we confront. And I promised Joe that I will give him that perspective and always be honest with him.
And is that a socialist or progressive perspective?
What? And I love how she, like, okay, you know, I work for a $1 billion corporation here at CBS News. I know who pays my bills. Are you a socialist? I mean, it's like one step away from saying, calling someone like a Satanist or something. Are you a socialist? Are you a socialist? Look at her face.
Oh.
No. No, I'm not a socialist. That's terrible. This laugh, I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, it is the
progressive perspective.
No.
Oh, no.
No, it is the perspective of a woman who grew up a black child in America, who was also a prosecutor, who also has a mother who arrived here at the age of 19 from India, who also...
Let me just go back to my talking points out on the campaign trail. I am the mother of a person who... Come on. Listen to her voice stammering. Is that a socialist person? No, I got to distance myself from that as far away as I could. You know, as far as going to run as far away as I can. I'm going to run as far away from what this country actually needs that could actually help people. I'm just going to run as far away as I can so we can get elected. I'm going to show you in a minute how excited Wall Street is about a Biden-Harris presidency right now. Make no mistake about how nothing, you know, make no mistake, nothing's going to change in this country. As these guys get into office, bought and sold by these big donors. Socialist? Are you kidding me? I'm not a socialist.
You know, likes hip hop, who, perspective of a woman.
Aggressive perspective?
No.
No, I'm not a progressive. Well, she should have answered it. I mean, first of all, could she have looked at Nora O'Donnell and says, you know, you look angry. You look angry when you ask me if I'm a progressive, that I'm a progressive socialist. Yeah. If you want to go down the line on these policies, where 60 to 70% of Americans support each of these types of policies. Yeah, clean air, clean water. To end fracking. Yeah. Healthcare for all, Medicare for all. All of these things. You're just laughing about it. You a socialist. You a progressive. I can't get over her face the way she asks this question.
And I promised Joe that I will give him that perspective and always be honest with him.
And is that a socialist or progressive perspective?
Is that a socialist or progressive perspective? My bosses are making sure that I ask this question. We're independent journalists here at 60 Minutes. We pretend like we don't have corporate overlords. We just want to make sure here at CBS that you're not going to do something radical. Like help the environment or pass Medicare for all or things that could help the American people. I just want to make sure that that's what you're not going to do. But she answers the question. I'm going to go back to my political talking points, my campaign talking points right now. I'm going to get you off of this socialist thing. I am not a socialist. No, I'm not. I am not a socialist. I'm just a girl that grew up listening to hip hop. You know, that's who I am.
No. No, it is the perspective of a woman who grew up a black child in America, who was also a prosecutor, who also has a mother who arrived here at the age of 19 from India, who also, you know, likes hip hop. Like, what do you want to know?
Well, I want to give you the opportunity to address this because.
What do you want to know? I got to run away from this. What do you want to know? I'm just a girl who likes hip hop. I'll move with it. However, the weather vane, I'll be your weather vane. So if the wind blows this way, I'll just blow that way. It's politically convenient for me to support the Green New Deal. I'll do that, Nora. Is that what you want me to say? Look, folks, I believe you're looking at the next president of the United States right here. That's why I'm talking about this. Kamala Harris is going to become essentially the next president of the United States. And you know, my little girl, my 8-year-old little girl, we like to joke after the debate the other night, she'll go, I'm speaking. Like she'll do the Kamala Harris when her brother interrupts her. I'm speaking. You know, we love, in our family, we like strong women. And so we showed her those clips. See, this is how, when someone wants to interrupt you as a woman, you stand up for yourself as a woman. I'm speaking, Mr. Vice President. I'm speaking. So yes, we like her to have that strong spine to stand up to President Trump. But also, we want that spine to be strong to stand up to corporate interests and to stand up for the things that really matter in America right now. Universal health care for all during a pandemic. A Green New Deal that's you know, not some big buyout for billionaires in the green space, but an actual Green New Deal that could transform our economy away from a reliance on fossil fuels and away from fracking and away from, you know, high amounts of carbon emissions where we only have literally a few years left before we hit that point of no return. Fact. Someone who has a strong spine, who's not going to just blow with the wind. So they're sort of laughing it off. I'm running away from this. Oh, I might have supported this stuff before, but now, you know, Joe, I'm with Joe. If we want you to be a strong, independent woman who is tough and it can stand up to these people, can stand up to corruption, great. Or are you just a weather vane blowing in the wind? You know, what do you want me to say here? I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'm just going to laugh about it. I don't know. Do you want me to be a socialist today? Is that bad?
What do you want to know?
Well, I want to give you the opportunity to address this, because at the Republican National Convention, yeah, President Trump made the case that Joe Biden is going to be nothing more than a Trojan horse for socialist policies, for the left wing of the Democratic Party.
What idiot believes that? What idiot believes that? This has been Trump's talking point and why he's losing the election. He went all in on this idea that his only line of attack, and it's not worked. In fact, it's made him more popular in polls because Trump has called him a socialist. Because Trump has says, yeah, you're going to vote for this Biden guy? He wants universal health care for everybody. You're going to vote for him? I know it's a pandemic and no one has health care. You're going to vote for a guy that wants to give you health care? You want a guy that's going to end fracking? Then vote for Biden. Guess what? Turns out people do want health care. They want fracking to end. But see, these guys, these corporate elites, these corporate Democrats, these limo-driving corporate Democrats, the limo liberals, as my friend likes to say, and these corporate Republicans, like the Mitch McConnells of the world, who are all bought and sold by these big energy companies, they're not going to change anything. They're not going to change anything. And again, this whole line of attack from President Trump has not worked. If anything, it's helped Biden by calling him some sort of a radical socialist. He's not. Here's a guy who literally has made billions of dollars or millions of dollars from Wall Street. Well, and I'm going to show you in a second just how happy Wall Street is with the Biden presidency. He supported the crime bill. He's voted to expand our wars from 2 wars to 7 wars. He, along with Barack Obama, deported more immigrants in America than President Trump has. By a landslide. It's not even close. So Joe Biden's a radical socialist? Who believes that? So Nora O'Donnell, they're parroting these right-wing talking points? She knows that that's not true. So why is she even saying it? It's laughable.
Are you going to push those policies when you're vice president of the United States?
I am not going to be confined to Donald Trump's definition of who I or anybody else is. And I think America has learned that that would be a mistake.
So just to button that up, because you have fought for Medicare for all. That's not something that Joe Biden supports. If you become vice president, would you say to a President Biden, you know what? We should really be pushing for Medicare for All, not a public option. That's just not going to do it. That's not my value.
I would not have joined the ticket if I didn't support what Joe was proposing. And so our plan includes expanding on everything that Joe, together with President Obama, created with the Affordable Care Act. By contrast, you have Donald Trump, who's in court right now trying to get rid of a policy that brought health care to over 20 million people, including protecting people with pre-existing conditions. And he's doing it in the middle of a pandemic that has killed over 215,000 Americans.
So back to the talking points. Here's your next president of the United States. You can see just the wheels turning in the head. Okay, what do I say? What do I say so I don't get in trouble with our donors? What do I say so I don't get in trouble with Joe? You know, if I was really independent and I wasn't bought and sold by all of these big donors, all of these Hollywood donors, all of these Wall Street donors, what would I say? What could I say? I would say, yes, I want Medicare for All. And by the way, it's overwhelmingly supported by the American people. So here I am on 60 Minutes being watched by millions of people. Yes, I want Medicare for All. Not only would they win in a landslide election victory, but they would actually afford the type of change that we need in this country. Medicare for All. So I love this interview last night. I just was cringing the whole time, both at the way that Nora O'Donnell was asking the questions, like all of these right-wing framed talking points, right? So she's taking something that's not true. You know, Republicans say that you're going to move this country, that, you know, Joe Biden is a socialist, he's a leftist, that your country is going to move in that direction. What do you say to the American people? First of all, do you even believe that, that you're even saying that? That's a pile of horse crap, number one. Number two, yeah, what if I am? So let me get this straight. You want me to go against providing universal health care for everybody? Nora? Just let that sink in for a minute on her. Stew on that for a little bit. So, Nora, I just want to be clear about something. With those evil eyes, you don't think having universal health care for all Americans right now in a pandemic would make sense? Joe Biden won't come out and say it. Maybe Kamala will. And maybe it's encouraging, I don't know, that in fact she has supported some of these things in the past, because Joe Biden's not going to do anything about it. Again, the reason I did it is because the reason I'm so struck by this, she is going to be the next president of the United States. I mean, if you saw the interview that Biden did last night, I mean, if you can watch this where he can't remember who the president of the United States is. He was on 60 Minutes last night. He can't remember who the president of the United States is right now. It's almost like Jill has to lean over and tell him who, no, it's not him. It's Trump. It's not George W. Bush anymore. This is frightening.
This is the most consequential, not because I'm running, but because who I'm running against. This is the most consequential election in a long, long, long time. And the character of the country, in my view, is literally on the ballot. What kind of country we're going to be. Four more years of he's going to find ourselves in a position where.
Yeah, we don't want four more years of George W. Bush. Certainly don't. I don't want four more years of George W. Bush. Do you? When will George W. Bush, you know, can we vote George W. Bush out of office?
What kind of country we're going to be? Four more years of he's going to find ourselves in a position where if Trump gets elected, we're going to be in a different world.
Yeah, a different world. I don't want four more years of George W. Bush. Do you? So Trump took to Twitter last night to mock him for his interview. Couldn't remember who the president of the United States is. Of course, social media was blowing up with Trump walking out of that 60 Minutes interview when the questions got a little too tough for him to handle. President Obama attacked him, made fun of him for walking out of that interview. While everyone's talking about that, they're missing, I think, the real interview, which was the Kamala Harris interview. And if you are hoping to see a move towards any kind of a progressive agenda in this country, where we have perhaps a universal basic income, Medicare for all, climate change, you know, climate change being affected and on the ballot, worker protections. No, none of that. I'm just going to laugh about it. I'm just a girl who loves hip hop. I'm just a girl who loves hip hop. What do you want? You want me to, what do you expect me to do, Nora? Just whatever you say, just tell me what you want and I'll be it. Okay. So upsetting. So upsetting. I had a friend the other day said, who works on political campaigns. He said, do you ever see the movie Weekend at Bernie's? Yeah, that's Joe Biden. They're like propping this guy up right now. All of that corporate money flooding into the Democrats in August. Record-breaking amounts of money coming into the Biden campaign. Flooding in from Wall Street, which we'll show you in a minute. It's like this. He's like a prop right now. It's like carrying around this guy. You know, you might support him. That's great. You think that there's going to be some big change, and you're lying to yourself. You're absolutely lying to yourself. You want to get this nut job out of the White House? Great. I do too. Make no mistake about that. But this is what we have. This is what we had to choose from. These political weather vanes who just blow around with whatever direction you want them to go. What do you want me to be, Nora? What do you want me to be? I'll be whatever you want me to be. You want me to be just a little girl who loves hip hop?
Grew up a black child in America who was also a prosecutor, who also has a mother who arrived here at the age of 19 from India, who also, you know, likes hip hop. Like, what do you want to know?
Well, I want to give you.
Yeah, what do you want me to be today? What do you want me to be? I'll be whatever you need me to be. If you're new here, subscribe to our channel. Smash that like button. Don't forget you can subscribe to our daily morning newsletter. Deliver it to your inbox first thing in the morning. Just go to morninginvest.com is how you do that. Deliver it to your inbox first thing in the morning. We got a bunch of viewer questions this morning. I want to get to those peppered in throughout the show. Here's Arthur. Arthur sent us a question this morning. Let's listen to Arthur.
Good morning, Clayton. This is Arthur from Boston, Massachusetts. I love your show, and thanks for everything you do. So I bought a house.
Thank you, Arthur.
A three-family home for $433,000 in the year 2017 at 4.125 interest, and it's a FHA loan. So in my balance right now is $405,000. I moved out a couple months ago. After I got married, and I'm renting now somewhere else for $1,450. So I collect $4,300 on my three-family home, which is located in another city, and my mortgage is $3,200, and I make $49,000 a year. So I was considering refinancing or using the HELOC, but I'm not very familiar with the HELOC, and I don't have much money on my bank account to cover the costs. So let me know what should I do or what would you do. Thank you.
Thanks, Arthur. Well, I mean, first of all, you might not be in a position to do a refinance right now, given the fact that, you know, your rates are not that much different. I mean, if you go whatever percent right now, rates are about 3. So I know it sounds sexy to save 1 point, you know, and you think, oh, I'm going to save a lot of money. You probably won't. You really have to run the numbers, run it through a mortgage calculator, Arthur, because chances are with those closing costs from a refinance, you're going to end up paying more and kicking the can down the street further. So you're going to end up paying more because of the refinancing closing costs and all of that. Plus you're probably not going to be saving very much. And if you're not living in the house anymore, then it becomes, it's not a primary residence. So you're actually going to pay more as well, because now it's a technically an investment property. So you'll have to put more down. So those numbers are not very favorable for refinances. So I looked into that for a couple of our properties that we have for refinances, but it doesn't make sense. The math just doesn't add up right now. So just run them through a mortgage calculator and see what makes sense there. But I'd hate for you to spend money on a loan that's going to come back to bite you. So thank you so much for that. Here's another one from Valerie.
Good morning, Morning Invest. My name is Marie. I'm a mother of two.
Oh, Marie.
I have under $15,000 in my 401k, and I have about $10,000 debt. When I was younger, I helped my mother purchase a house. So now I would like to purchase a house, and I'm having problems because of her debt. I don't make that much money, but I would like to purchase a house. How do I go about that?
Well, a couple of different ways. I'd look into non-recourse financing, if you can find a bank that will work with you on that. Non-recourse means that you can get a loan on the property without it really being tied to you personally. So there are a bunch of different options out there for that. I would also talk to a credit repair specialist like Wayne, the credit guy. I've actually done an interview with Wayne here. You can check it out on our channel. Wayne can help you get your credit repaired. Like if there's a debt that's sitting there that's adversely affecting your credit, that would be the thing. That's to me the lowest hanging fruit, especially if it's not your debt, if it's your mom's debt and your name is somehow tied to it. Some of those things can be cleaned off pretty quickly and pretty easily. You can move your credit score very quickly. Within a matter of weeks, actually, you can get your credit fixed. So hope you do that. So I saw a bunch of other people here in the chat saying, is there any stimulus news? Now, like I said, I'm not going to cover the stimulus until there's actually stimulus. There is no stimulus news. There is nothing to report on the stimulus front. Anybody doing a stimulus video telling you that a stimulus is coming today or tomorrow, whatever, it's not true. Okay. So until we actually have a bill that's going to the White House to be signed, I'm not covering it. I'm not going to waste your time with it. They are not going to pass a stimulus before election. Mark my words. Okay. They are not going to pass a stimulus before the election. We have a Senate confirmation right now for the Supreme Court of the United States, Amy Coney Barrett. That is all the focus right now, is Supreme Court and getting these other judges in right now. President Trump has been signing judgeships left and right. That is Mitch McConnell's singular focus. And by the way, the number one issue right now keeping any kind of stimulus going, and the reason it's not going to pass, is because of liability protections for businesses. Mitch McConnell wants liability protections for businesses so that if you get sick on the job, you couldn't sue them. Or if some other issue arose, you could not sue that employer. This is, and you know, I guess good news for Democrats sticking up for this, because this is about workers' rights. And how much more can we have workers' rights in this country crushed? Workers' rights in this country have just been getting pummeled. And so if we have this clause that passes in another version of a stimulus where workers' rights are further eroded, good night. So all of these people who are being forced to take, you know, go to work, don't have proper PPE set up in their place of employment and get sick, and they can't, then they have no recourse. They are not able to get any kind of help because it's coronavirus related. Ridiculous. And plus, they're still so far apart on other things. But anyway, this is all a pony show. Nothing is going to pass before Election Day at this point. Nothing. So I don't buy that for a second. We've got more to get to here on the show. And I do want to let's talk about that right now. Let's talk about the Supreme Court. So here's a story that no one's talking about. Amy Coney Barrett, of course, about to be sat on the judge on the Supreme Court, filling the vacant seat left by the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The filibuster has ended in the Senate. So maybe even by the time you're watching this, if you're watching this on the replay, she will now be an official Supreme Court justice, the ninth seat on the Supreme Court filled. And one thing that no one's covering is the fact a certain number of cases that she'll be taking up as she becomes Supreme Court justice. And it's now been confirmed that she will, in fact, be able to sit and hear a case that would boost the fossil fuel group, that helped, that her father helped lead. The Intercept doing some great reporting on this. And David Sirota, who's been really a champion of this. I mean, he's been a fantastic reporter. Love his work. And he basically says, you know, if confirmed, Judge Amy Coney Barrett could decide the fate of a major pipeline case pushed by the fossil fuel lobby. You know, if you care about fossil fuels in a pipeline coming through your backyard, and you care that you live in, you know, the state of Pennsylvania, which will stand up for you, or they won't because they allow fracking, or if you live in a state that really cares about the environment, does not want a pipeline coming through your backyard, does not want a pipeline coming through their state, put it in Wyoming, put it somewhere else. We don't want it here. And that's why you live in that state. You're like, yeah, I love Texas. I love Kansas because they'll stand up for people. Well, that's about to go out the window. Because the lobbying effort right now by the lobbying organization where her father served as a top official, the case could limit states' power overall to halt fossil fuel projects precisely at the moment when climate scientists say that this could render large swaths of the United States uninhabitable in our lifetime. Just imagine for a second you just got a pipe, okay? We just got a pipe, and that pipeline is running all the way through your property, all the way through your state, all the way through your community. Now, imagine for a moment the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, BP's, you know, disaster, and that gushing camera. I mean, I was on the air. I was reporting that at the time, and we just literally had a camera set up on that BP camera, which they'll never do again, by the way. We're not going to put a camera down there so we can have a live feed of billions of gallons of oil pouring into the Gulf of Mexico, destroying it. And they were quick. Oh, it's back to normal. I remember TV commercials run by BP like, hey, we had a little bit of a difficulty here. Our shrimp were bad for a short amount of time, but we're back. You know, shows all these fishermen like, come on down, try our seafood. Yeah. You going down there to eat that shrimp? Help you. God help you. Killed upwards of 1 million dolphins, by the way. Trillions of oysters. So imagine for a second, you have this, you don't think anything could happen to a pipe? I don't care how secure you think it is. We just arrested, I mean, how many people did we just arrest trying to assassinate a governor? You don't think some of these clowns, if they wanted to, could drive out somewhere with a white van, park it next to one of these pipelines, and destroy an entire community as this oil pours into the groundwater and destroys an entire community? Yeah, you don't think that could happen? People who say that are stupid. That can't happen. Just like when what's her name, Sarah Palin, was pushing Obama to do deep water drilling. Dig, baby, dig. Remember her saying that at the convention? Dig, baby, dig. And when their environmentalists were saying, we don't know these studies on these deep water drilling facilities. We don't know. I mean, we don't have enough data. And she said, no, they've been vetted inside and out. These are safe, safe, safe. Drill, baby, drill. So we drill and we destroy the Gulf of Mexico. Look at the Exxon Valdez in Alaska, by the way. Still not recovered. Destroyed the wetlands there because of the Exxon Valdez. So, what is Amy Coney Barrett going to be able to do? Well, this case would limit the state's power to halt fossil fuel projects. It would have come down to the federal level. So the federal government wants to put a pipeline right through Kansas, right through Wyoming, right through Pennsylvania. States can't do anything. Barrett, of course, Judge Barrett, has repeatedly refused to acknowledge anything about climate science. I mean, even during her hearing, this was one of the most telling moments during her hearing about when she was asked about climate science, that she had no real feelings on it. What? No feelings on it? What does that mean? So right now, a lower court judge, she recused her, when she was a lower court judge, she recused herself from this case because of a conflict of interest. Yeah, because daddy worked there for Shell Oil, where her father worked as a top attorney. She's not commenting on it. She's not talking about it. She's not going to, she's like, I'm not going to commit. I'm not saying I'm going to be taken off of any future oil cases. And by the way, when we talk about the Supreme Court, I've mentioned this before, you know, everyone wants to talk about these cultural issues, right? They want to talk about Roe v. Wade. No, no. The reason conservatives want an Amy Coney Barrett on the case is because overwhelmingly the number of cases they see, 70% of the cases in the Supreme Court are big business versus people, big business versus workers. And they always want to be able to support the big business. You don't think that, you know, Mitch McConnell, who's been bought and paid for by big oil and big energy, of course he wants her on the Supreme Court. Oh, Shell Oil is up against, it has, you know, there's a big question as to whether or not Shell Oil will be able to get this pipeline put through. Yeah, I want her in place for that. Let's get her on the bench so that when this comes up in front of the Supreme Court, she'll be able to vote in favor of this. So she's not going to recuse herself? No. So this will likely be the one of the very first cases that she hears. This API, which is a top fossil fuel lobbying group in Washington, filed a brief backing the case. They criticize the lower court ruling because they, quote, says it allows states a unilateral and unconstrained veto subject to their sole discretion over federally approved interstate pipeline projects. So the federal government says, yeah, you can build a pipeline from Canada down through Louisiana. And Louisiana's like, no, we don't want it. They could do that before. They could say, we don't want it, and the pipeline would stop. Now they have no recourse if this passes. So again, Barrett declined to comment on recusing herself from this. She only said basically that she would consult with other justices and declaring that, it, quote, it would not be appropriate for me to offer an opinion on abstract legal issues or hypotheticals. That's what she said during the hearing. I'll consult with my other justices. So these justices will decide whether to hear the case. And they're waiting on input from the Trump administration on whether to hear the case. So rushing through, you don't think trying to fight this, trying to keep, you know, trying to stop this before Election Day is needed? Democrats just caved on this. Democrats who have no backbone at all just caved on this in the Senate. Filibuster is done. And by the time you're watching this, she'll likely be a sitting justice of the Supreme Court. So just get ready for more of this stuff. You want to see workers' rights eroded even more in this country? It's about to happen. So when people want to tell you the Supreme Court's all about Roe v. Wade and abortion, it's not. It's about these stories. But they're trying to distract you with it. This is how they get these people placed. Because I tell you what, if you would have seen a television commercial that said, you need to, you know, we encourage the Supreme Court, the nomination, the swift nomination of Amy Coney Barrett, because she will always protect big business. That, what? That commercial's not going to work. That commercial's not going to go anywhere. But if you do have a commercial that says, Amy Coney Barrett, she's pro-life, and she will always support the sanctity of life. Oh, okay, yeah, we got to get her on that Supreme Court. But why don't you tell the truth to the American people? Because the truth is that almost every case she's going to hear is going to be like one of these. Big business running rampant over you. And no one's talking about it. No one's covering it. And the Democrats totally miss and drop the ball on how to argue this point. Talking about a woman's right to choose, yes, incredibly important. And that, yes, is on this. It is on the ticket. It is on the ballot. It is part of the Supreme Court nomination. But they're missing the ball. They're dropping the ball every time because they get pulled into that kind of an argument for these justices. It's not. It's about big business running roughshod over the American people. And guess what? These big businesses pay all of these Democrats for their campaigns. All the oil lobby, the energy lobby, they're all making money from it. So if you're sitting back home wondering, why are we ramming this through? Don't Democrats have a backbone? They don't. because there's somebody that pays their salary. That's how it works. That's how they get reelected. It's disgusting. I'll put up a question from Michael. Here's a question from Michael. He called in.
Hello, Clayton. My name is Michael, and I had spent the last 6 or 7 years rebuilding my credit to almost close to a 700 until the coronavirus hit, and now it's dropped back down to under 500, and my situation does not look like it's going to improve anytime soon. So I'm seriously considering that it may be possibly time to just file bankruptcy and wondering if that would probably be the best option for me, and would like to know what your opinion on that would be.
Well, Michael, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope our members of Congress are watching right now, are paying attention. This is exactly what's happening. Michael's comment here, having to file bankruptcy. And there's a lot of things left unsaid there, Michael. Number one, your credit score has dropped because I imagine you haven't been able to pay your bills. So you have credit card debt. I want you to understand, there is no shame in having to file bankruptcy. And by the way, if and when we do get a stimulus, if there is a stimulus, I'm hoping that there will be this provision in there, which would basically not have credit card companies have adverse claims on your credit. And perhaps we might get lucky that if Democrats grow some balls and actually try to wipe away bankruptcies due to COVID from our record, so it's not sitting on your record for 7 years and then you're not able to get a loan or anything else. I mean, it's an incredibly difficult thing to go through, Michael. I don't want to, I'm not a financial advisor or an attorney, but if you can't pay your bills and one option, for you is bankruptcy, there is no shame in that. It's a business decision. I've had a lot of good friends who've had to file for bankruptcy. They've bounced back and they've been doing great since. There's no shame in it. And so many people have had to file bankruptcy because of COVID. And our federal government sits there on its hands, does nothing. So you can't fix your credit if you still have that debt. One thing I would try to do is talk to your credit card companies and talk to them about a possible forbearance. That might be an option before you have to go the bankruptcy route. If there is a way for you to get some sort of, do you have a business? Are you able to get a small business loan? Are you available to get PPP if they do pass a stimulus in the next few weeks to get some sort of PPP money that could help you get caught up on these bills? There also could be some local assistance for you to pay your bills. You can call 611 on your phone. Talk to your local municipalities about some sort of bill payment options that can help you get out of this. Try to exhaust all of those options. Different communities have different programs before you have to go to the bankruptcy route. Scott Kesterson says, do I get a free toaster if I join your boot camp? No toaster. We're not giving away toasters. You do get an awesome boot camp that's totally free that we worked very hard on to help people build financial freedom, understand a balance sheet, and we take you through week by week. It's 90 day. It's a 90-day boot camp. Totally free. So check it out. Morninginvest.com/bootcamp. I should tell you about our sponsor today, our good friends over at Outlet Finance. If you want to get a 6% interest savings account, which is not backed by Wall Street, it's backed by cryptocurrency. You can deposit your money anytime, withdraw your money anytime. They've got their own insurance, so your money's protected. You earn 6% on every dollar you put in there. All you need to do, and they'll actually deposit free money into your account when you go to morninginvest.com/outlet. You have to go to that link in order to get the free money. But what's amazing is, so they'll know you came from us, but 6%, think about inflation right now is about 2%. So if you've got money in like a Wells Fargo account or one of those other crappy savings accounts, you're actually losing money every day that it's in one of those savings accounts. This is my favorite savings account. I use it every day. You can take your money out anytime. They work with TransferWise. So if you need to move money around, you can, you know, you can take your 10th, like you, someone just said on our call here this morning, I think had said, she's $15,000 in savings. There's an opportunity to put your money in an account that's going to actually earn you interest every month. 6% return. Can I help you, buddy? What are you doing, buddy? Did you see a cat? Did you see a cat? You barking at, buddy? Oh, brother. Some of this stuff just gets me so fired up that I don't know what to do with myself sometimes. All right, I want to tell you about a story. I was kicking back on the old Twitter the other day. And, you know, we've done some GoFundMe stuff here on the show where we featured some different GoFundMe accounts for different viewers who are going through hard times. And, you know, it's a good way to, you know, you feel good about yourself. Okay, we're promoting someone's GoFundMe page. And then you start to think about it. You're like, wait a second. GoFundMe is making money off of your discomfort, off of your pain in your life, right? GoFundMe is making whatever it is, 3-5% off of your transaction. So I stopped doing it because I, you know, I didn't want to promote that platform that way. And also it just, you know, became a little overwhelming because you feel like, oh, well then I have to, if I do it for this person, we should do it for this person. And it's not what this show should be. But more importantly, it's making Silicon Valley rich, right? So all of these limo liberals can feel good about themselves because they built this platform that allows, you know, you to make them to make money off of doing good for the world. We take 5%. 3%, I don't know what their percentage is. I think it's 5%. All these transactions. So I was sitting back. I follow Jake Tapper on Twitter. He's a fellow Philadelphia Eagles fan. So I was flipping through Twitter the other day, and I saved the story because I wanted to talk about it. And Jake Tapper tweets about this GoFundMe thing. He's a Philly guy, and I was like, okay, what is Jake Tapper of CNN tweeting about? This says, with the pandemic continuing to rage out of control, GoFundMe launched a new centralized hub where you can help people struggling to pay rent or put food on the table. Great. So when you click on this, it goes to a new hub that GoFundMe has set up. You need help for rent or food? So they're getting all this free publicity from the likes of CNN to promote a program where you can go and you can feel good about yourself by donating money to different GoFundMes where people can't pay their food, can't pay their rent. And GoFundMe makes money off of you for doing this. So GoFundMe, you know, the Silicon Valley liberals are like, we're such good people. You know, we want to get this message out there. You know, we're GoFundMe. We're here to help you. So we want to get this message out there. We've set up a special hub on GoFundMe now where you can go and you can learn about people that can't pay their rent. So you can sit in your mansion and just donate as much money as you want to help these people. It's garbage. It's garbage because we're the richest country in the world. Probably the richest country in history. With a $25 trillion economy. And this is what it's come to? This is what it's come to, where we have to set up GoFundMe pages for people so they can pay their medical bills? And then you have someone just blindly tweeting. Not even blindly, it wasn't even a retweet. It was a comment. It was not even just a blind retweet. It was an actual comment. With the pandemic continuing to rage out of control, GoFundMe launched a new centralized hub. So, you know, GoFundMe basically put all the, like, had their engineers, you know, I got an idea from a business perspective. Why don't we make it easier for people to use GoFundMe to pay their rent, put food on the table? So at any time anyone raises money on GoFundMe, we get 5% because we're an altruistic organization. Then if you scroll to the bottom of GoFundMe, you'll notice GoFundMe.org, which is their new charitable giving section, so that anybody who donates on GoFundMe, they're going to donate a small portion to people that don't have food. Yeah. Why don't you take the money? So why do we have to do two steps in order for you to take this money? If you were really altruistic, limo liberals, if you're really altruistic and you really care about people, why wouldn't you set up a GoFundMe hub and all of that money? We're not going to take any fees from any right now during this pandemic. If it's related to helping someone put food on their table or pay their rent, we're not going to take any fees. How about that? Instead of, we've set up a separate charity. And what happens is if you use our main platform, we'll donate a small portion to the charity. And then that charity will then funnel money to people who need food. Oh, I see how this is going to go. Goes over here and then down and then down. I don't blame Jake Tapper. He was sitting there. He was probably watching the Eagles lose. He's probably having a beer. And he probably wasn't thinking. And he's like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. GoFundMe, way to go. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. But I think what he sees is, I work for CNN. $1 billion company. I'm part of that liberal, I'm part of that limo liberal group. And this is great. We can feel good about ourselves. You can just go on this website and donate money. The richest country in the world, and we have to rely on GoFundMe to help people. People like Michael, who just called in and left us a message about not being able, he's going to have to file bankruptcy because he can't pay his bills. And his credit score is now shot. And because this Senate, because these Republicans and Democrats are too concerned with getting through, Amy Coney Barrett in the Supreme Court and making their donors happy than they are about helping you. So I want you to remember that when you vote. Where are these people? Who do they support? Who's bought them? Who's funding these people? Ask those questions. This country has gone down the tubes, my friends. You have 80% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. 1 in 4 households right now are food insecure in this country. How many people watching right now in our chat are having a difficult time even paying their bills right now, putting food on the table? How many of you have lost your job? Let me know in the chat right now. Yeah, Daily Choices said, I just had to take my car off the road because I can't afford the insurance. I can no longer work for Uber or Postmate. Silent Dream says, Clayton, I was an essential employee and got sick with COVID. Still months later, so sick my doctor will not let me go back to work. Linda Gomez says, I lost my job. Amanda Hamilton, I lost my job. Reagan Roby, I lost my job of 4 years. Let's throw them up on the screen, Philip. Keep them coming. I lost my job. Linda Gomez, right here. Reagan Roby, I lost my job of 4 years. Amanda Hamilton, I've lost my job. It's heartbreaking. Princess Diana, I lost my job in March. Anna Garcia, lost my job. Had to quit to homeschool, 8 a.m. Sarah Draper says, I'm homeless. How is this happening? Andrew Ho says, I lost a business of 23 years. Stephanie Sherrill, I lost my job, can't find another one. I've been applying like crazy. Tammy Diaz says, I had to pull my 401k out early just to make ends meet. Sarah Draper says, I lost my home. How is this happening? How is this happening in America? It's this country is crumbling right before our eyes. You losing your home during a pandemic, it's not happening in Canada. So when Nora O'Donnell wants to get on her little high horse, are you a socialist? Yeah, let me tell you what. Are you a communist? No, I'm not a friggin' communist, you idiot. Are you a socialist? No, I'm not a socialist. But I'll tell you what I am. Here are the things that I support. You want to put a label on me? I want to make sure people don't lose their jobs. Or if they lost their job, then they're treated the way they are treated in Canada. Or Norway. Or Finland. Or Denmark. Where even if you lost your job, you still receive a paycheck. And you have health insurance. And you have a roof over your head so you don't lose your house. How about that? No, because we are so controlled by these billionaires in Washington and on Wall Street that just want to enrich themselves. And it controls the mainstream media and it controls our politicians. So when you support this show and you watch this show and you share this show with other people, we are not bought and sold by anybody. The only person I answer to is this guy. And he can be a handful. But I don't have Rupert Murdoch. I don't have, you know, Les Moonves or any of these other people lording over me, telling me what to say, telling me what stories to cover, telling me what narrative to put out there. These are the stories that I believe are important for you to try to keep more of your own money, not to enrich Wall Street. When I tell you to, you know, not putting your money in the stock market, not making these other companies rich, not falling for this crap anymore. You know, right now under the CARES Act, you have an opportunity to take money out of your 401k. Do it. Do it and invest in yourself. Take that money out and put it towards an investment property that will produce cash flow for you. Put it into gold and silver. Put it into crypto. Get it out of this corrupt system. It's only getting worse. And these people are only getting richer while you're getting screwed. Here's another question. This one from Michael this morning. Let's listen to Michael.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Michael. I was just reaching out to you. I watch your show a lot. I don't really chat much, but I always sit back and listen. I'm really good at that. And speaking of listening, I've come across something that I wanted to grab some interest in. It was about the subject to and real estate. And I was looking into it because it's like, from what I'm getting, is a no capital, no banks, no tenant kind of situation. And I was curious if that was a good route for someone in that kind of scenario. If you could just help me out, just answer some simple questions about it. If that's a good route for someone in a beginner stage, maybe. Maybe with someone that's a friend in real estate as well, that could be a reference or help along the way, that'd be a good route for me to go. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for watching. I really appreciate it. So he's asking about subject two. Now, I don't know quite if you're looking at this from an investment perspective or you want to move into a house like this or you want to, I'm not quite sure what your goal was there, Michael. But, you know, buying a property subject to an existing mortgage is what he's talking about. And this is a great way for you if you found an investment property where, let's say someone's underwater, they can't afford to pay the mortgage, they need to move anyway, they're planning on moving, but they can't pay the mortgage. It's an opportunity for you as an investor maybe to come in and you're going to take over the property subject to the existing mortgage. So you will take over the property. You will pay the mortgage as the investor. You're taking it over. So you're getting title to the property and then you're going to be paying the note. You'll keep the existing mortgage in place and you would continue to pay the note. So I've never, I don't believe I've ever done a subject to deal in my life. I don't think I have. I've done thousands of real estate deals. I don't know that I've done a subject to deal. Although we might have in some roundabout way, but nevertheless, I know a lot of people that do them. They can work great because if someone like, you know, needs to move, but is in behind on their payments, you're able to kind of come in and get them caught up on their payments. so that their credit isn't as affected. So there's, it can be a win-win. It can also be a little shady, right? You're kind of coming in and going to take over the property for somebody who's living in the property and they can't pay their bills anymore. And now you're going to become like a pseudo landlord in a way. It's kind of, some people see that as predatory, and it can be. So just be careful and be, you know, good with your intentions. And as long as you're above board on it, then you shouldn't have a problem with it. But there is a couple, I think, Joe McCall, I believe, has a subject to coaching course or a lease option coaching course. One of the two of them. You might want to check out Joe McCall if you're interested in more of that. All right, we got one more story, if you can believe it. Then we'll get you out of here. Well, I woke up this morning to the Wall Street Journal. And good news if you're a Biden supporter, because Wall Street apparently loves Joe Biden. This was the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. Business on Biden. Not so bad given the alternatives. Many executives see Democratic nominee as less adversarial than Sanders or Warren and less unpredictable than Trump. And the whole piece manages to go through and lay out how all of these Wall Street types really don't know where Joe Biden stands on anything, but they don't care. Bottom line is, you know what? We've donated millions to him. We're sure he's fine. Nothing's going to change. So if you're sitting back wondering, you know, is a Biden presidency going to make my life that much better? Am I going to feel so much different when I wake up in the morning because Biden is president than this guy Trump? Well, you might wake up and say, oh, we got this nut job out of the White House. Congrats. We got that guy out. Thank goodness. Right. But now what do we have? Well, we have somebody that Wall Street loves. And I told you this all summer long when you get angry with me. I'm sorry. I got to tell the truth. Some of you would get angry with me and be like, I'm voting for him because he's better than Trump. I'm like, OK, I understand, but I'm telling you what you're going to get here. Nothing different. Nothing different.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Joe. It's the truth. Bought and sold by Wall Street. So here are just a couple of different pieces in this Wall Street Journal piece. Yet many business executives and their allies are greeting the prospect of a Biden presidency with either ambivalence or relief. Credit that not to who Mr. Biden is, but who he isn't. He's not Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, senators with a much more adversarial approach to business. Really? Really that much more adversarial to business? Bernie had the opportunity to be, I don't know. You want to say, what is it to be adversarial? To be a socialist Democrat? And to say, you know what? I support policies that will help the American people, like workers' rights. That needs to be adversarial to business so they can't line their pockets anymore on the backs of American workers. You know, the minimum wage in this country is below poverty level. We don't want to hurt big business because they just haven't done well. While millions of Americans can't pay their bills and have lost their jobs. But these businesses just got a $5 trillion bailout from you. Yeah. So all of these guys, we're really worried about them. Bernie Sanders voted for a bailout for these big businesses. They all voted for it. They all voted for a bailout, corporate bailout. $5 trillion, while the American people don't even get another $1,200 stimulus check. They can't even pay their bills. They've lost their jobs. Just watch our chat this morning. See how many people who've been watching our show right now don't even have a job. They've lost their job because of you. And yet big businesses are taken care of. So the piece goes on. Here's one of my favorite quotes in here by this Tim Adams, president of the Institute of International Finance, says this: if Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders were the nominee, we'd be having a different conversation and thinking through our engagement in a very different way. With Biden, what you have is someone who in many ways is a throwback to a different era, who thinks about, how do you get things done? Really? Really? A throwback to a bygone era. That's a nice way of saying business as usual. It's going to go back to the way it was under Obama. It's going to go back to the way it was under George W. Bush. Nothing's going to change. But I love this idea that we'd have to think about how we engage with them if it's a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren. Might have had to change our approach a little bit if it's Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. We'd have to think about our engagement. The piece goes on. Asked how Mr. Biden would deal with business. This was, his allies describe him as pragmatic. Joe Biden is driven less by the politics of the moment and more by which policies he believes will be most effective in lifting up the middle class, said Jared Bernstein, an economist who served under Mr. Biden when he was Barack Obama's vice president and still advises him. Yeah, he's more concerned about which policies he believes will be most effective in lifting up the middle class. Really? So the middle class was basically eliminated under Obama and further exacerbated and eliminated under Trump. He's concerned with the middle class. He's middle class Joe from Scranton. That's what he's concerned about. Sure he is. Piece goes on. Remember, I got in trouble with some of the people. This is when Biden was speaking in 2019. So they brought this up in the piece just to reaffirm that things aren't going to change. Remember, I got in trouble with some of the people on my team, he said at a speech on the Democratic side, because I said, you know, what I've found is rich people are just as patriotic as poor people, Mr. Biden said. You all know in your gut what has to be done. We can disagree in the margins, but the truth of the matter is, it's all within our wheelhouse and nobody has to be punished. No one's standard of living will change. Nothing would fundamentally change, he said. And by the way, when he's gotten heat for that comment, especially from progressives, you know, like Bernie Sanders supporters, who are like, nothing's going to change, right? All of this money you're getting from Wall Street, nothing's going to change. It's all going to be the same. We're still screwed. He's like, I didn't really mean that. Nothing's going to change. And yet he's still saying it on the campaign trail. He's still saying it when he meets with donors. He said it repeatedly. And according to the Wall Street Journal, he continues to say that nothing will change. In fact, look at the issues that matter most to Wall Street. This is a little graph that the Wall Street Journal put together. And over on the far right, all the way up in the upper right-hand corner, is taxes. So that bracket is taxes. That's the one thing that Wall Street's most concerned about, business taxes. All of the other things are pretty close. Red is Trump, blue is Biden. And they're all like kind of very similar. The only thing that they're slightly different on is taxes. That's it. They're not concerned. In a survey of 100 CEOs in this piece who attended a Yale School of Management conference in September. By the way, did you hear that? 100 CEOs who attended this management conference in September. 77% of them said they plan to vote for Mr. Biden. Many are also voting with their wallets, the piece says. Roger Altman, founder of investment bank Evercore, and a top Democratic fundraiser on Wall Street said, quote, raising money is never easy, but raising money for Biden by historical standards has been very, very easy. The Biden campaign raised nearly $750 million from these guys in August and September, a record for any presidential candidate in history. This is Wall Street. Financial industries have contributed more than $50 million to Biden. An outside group supporting him more than any other business sector, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. His top donors include Wall Street or Hollywood producer Jeffrey Katzenberg, who we just told you last week did that failed $2 billion Quibi venture that collapsed. If you didn't see my Quibi video, watch it. We've got a link below. I'll put that in the show notes. And LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman and venture capitalist Chris Sacca. Donating millions to Joe Biden, all these Hollywood and Wall Street elites, nothing will change. But when pressed on this issue, AOC was on this weekend, and she was pressed on this issue with Jake Tapper. This idea that, hey, you know, you support climate change, you support all of these things. Why are you supporting Biden? Are you going to get him to change? What's going to happen here? This is important to you. All of these issues that are important to progressives that apparently nothing's going to change. Are you going to be able to change them? This was literally the question. This idea that you're going to be able to change a 76-year-old man, teach an old dog new tricks. Do any of you watching right now believe that? Here's Jake Tapper asking AOC this weekend about what she hopes will get accomplished under a Biden presidency.
Which is an issue of tremendous importance, especially to you. You introduced a bill earlier this year that would ban all fracking nationwide within the next 5 years. To be completely candid, Vice President Biden's position on the issue of fracking has been confusing. During the primary, he sounded supportive of a ban. On Saturday, he told voters in Pennsylvania, quote, "I'm not banning fracking, period." It sounds like now he's on the other side of this issue from you. Does it bother you?
You know, it does not bother me. I believe, and I have a very strong position on fracking. You know, the science is very clear. The methane emissions from fracking are up to 64 times more powerful than CO2 emissions at trapping heat in the air. And just from a perspective of stopping climate change, you know, there is a scientific consensus.
But it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me, Jake. It's awful. It's destroying our environment. The people that live nearby these fracking fields, they can't even drink their water. The gas emissions from these fields, they're awful. It doesn't bother me, though, that Joe Biden, if that question was asked of her, hey, you know, Mitch McConnell, he is against fracking. She would say, I'm outraged. Mitch McConnell must have his head buried in the sand. He must be living in 1972. He doesn't know what he's talking about, Jake. Oh, you're talking about Biden? I'm not bothered by this. I'm not bothered that he doesn't care about fracking suddenly because it's politically expedient.
However, that is my view. Vice President Biden has made very clear that he does not agree with a fracking ban. And I consider that, it will be a privilege to lobby him should we win the White House. But we need to focus on winning the White House first. And I'm happy to make my case, but I also understand that he is in disagreement on that issue.
Do you worry that his opposition to a fracking ban is going to hurt young voter turnout?
Well, you know, I believe that young people right now have a very disciplined activist mindset, and they are not here with the intent of voting for their favorite person or voting for, someone that they think is perfect as president. I think young people are actually quite disciplined and quite realistic and pragmatic in their vote, and they want to vote for who they are going to lobby. They're right now, young people
So we have a crappy candidate. We have a corporate-bought crappy candidate who's walking around half-dead, like Weekend at Bernie's. And you're going to vote. So your idea, we need to vote for somebody that we can change. That's what you're saying. We need to vote for somebody that at 76 years old, we can change. Have you ever met old people? They don't change. My dad is 86. There's no way in hell I'm going to teach him how to stop eating a pile of pancakes on a Sunday morning because it's bad for his heart. You know, now he's got a pacemaker. He doesn't understand what a carb is. I'm not teaching him anything at 86 years old. You think Joe Biden suddenly is now going to teach an old dog new tricks, especially when he's going to reward the donors, the $750 million in money that now have an access to this presidency? We're going to encourage or lobby these people?
Are so clear on their stances on many political issues that they believe that they want to vote for a president that is at least going to be receptive to their advocacy, activism, and protest, frankly. And so, you know, there is no question that Joe Biden is a much better person in that position to be receptive and actually listen to the voices of advocates than Donald Trump, who is intensely focused on enriching himself and his friends.
So, oh, really? So wasn't he already vice president for 8 years? What happened to the middle class during the Obama-Biden presidency? He's in a much better position. Really? Look, people, I don't want to scare you, and I'm trying not to, you know, be discouraging, but we got to stop paying. We have to stop paying attention to these corporate media talking points and believe, you know, my biggest fear in all of this is that once Biden wins, and by all accounts, he's going to be the next president, that we go to sleep. That's what's going to happen. All of these liberals who are getting the vote, you know, vote turnout, all of these people who are emboldened to get out and vote for the very first time, who want to change, want to make, you know, want universal health care, want big changes to our economy, they're going to go to sleep. That's exactly what happened during Obama. Everyone just went to sleep. And you're going to have another Trump in a few years. Now, whether or not it's Trump himself or Don Jr. or Ivanka, there's going to be another Trump running in a few years because nothing is going to change. So instead of putting up an actual candidate and actually giving our states the opportunity for ranked choice voting, we've talked about in Maine, the ability for people to vote their conscience. Good. I don't know how many Maine people we have watching, Mainers right now. You have the best opportunity right now during this election to get meaningful candidates in these positions in that state. Vote your conscience. They don't get 50% of the vote. You can pick your next choice. 1, 2, 3, right down the list. Ranked choice voting. It works. Instead of these yahoos, and we're stuck with Trump. We're stuck with Biden with no real choice. Yeah, you get Howie Hawkins on some party tickets on the Green Party in some states. You have Joe Jurgensen on others. Come on. The only way this is going to change is if we have a movement that allows, you know, we can actually break through on this. Get ranked choice voting in every state. Get a real third party candidate that's not bought and sold by these companies, these corporations. So that AOC doesn't have to go on Jake Tapper and talk about how we're going to drag these people along. Let's see if Jake asks any follow-up here on this.
Last year, Biden told Democratic voters he would eliminate fossil fuels as president. But listen to what he told reporters after Thursday night's debate.
We're not getting rid of fossil fuels. We're getting rid of the subsidies for fossil fuels. But we're not getting rid of fossil fuels for a long time.
We're not getting rid of fossil fuels for a long time. You were a member of Biden's climate change task force. Is that good enough for you?
Well, you know, when he says when we're eliminating subsidies, you know, I think that is, frankly, an important first step. There's a lot of folks, you know, who like to tout the.
I can't even pay attention to that crap. I mean, talk about this is exactly what happens to these people. They get into office. They forget why they're there. Big money now circulates. They pretend to be an outsider. Money's all around them. All of these donors telling them what to say, how to act. You know, subsidies, it's a good first step. You know, that's really what we have to, just a good first step. So, again, if this was Schumer on the other foot and it was a Republican saying these type of, like, light, toothless policy initiatives, she'd be flipping out. Americans are suffering. These politicians are taking your money. But no, it's Biden, so it's okay. It's a good first step. Yeah, it's all fine.
Themselves as free market capitalists while still trying to make sure that they get as much government subsidy and propping up of the fossil fuel industry as possible. And the fact of the matter is that if you do believe in markets, solar and renewable energies are growing less and less expensive by the day. And in many areas, they are starting to become less expensive than fossil fuels. So when you eliminate government subsidies, it becomes more difficult for fossil fuels to compete in the market. And so, you know, I think while the vice president wants to make sure that he's not doing it by government mandate or regulation, you know, I do believe that we are moving towards that future. Again, I believe that there's a way and that we should push that process along. But again, the vice president and I's disagreements are, I believe, recorded. And that's quite all right.
There you go. I see some of people in the chat saying, Clayton, you want Trump to win? Are you crazy? I think Trump is a fascist, you know, psychopath. I think he's playing a role. I don't want him to winning. I don't want him winning. But I also don't want you, anyone who's watching right now, to be lulled to sleep about what Biden is. You know, if like Cornel West says, we need to have a, we need to get Biden in there so that we can, as a first step. Okay, that's Cornel West, idea that we need to get Biden in there. He's not a progressive. He's not what we need, but he's a step in the right direction. Okay, if you believe that, I hope so. But I don't want you falling asleep. You know, if you watch my show, the reason I'm talking about these things is because no one else talks about this. These are things that I've cared about since I was a little kid. You know, these are programs and policies that I've cared about since I was a little kid. And, you know, talking about the environment with my parents, making them aware of the types of waste in our house, you know, thinking about what was happening to our streams and rivers growing up. These were things that I cared about as a little kid, you know, and beyond that, watching my father like lose his job, having no savings, getting downsized, having no health care, watching people get destroyed by debt, student loan debt. Why in the United States, the wealthiest country in the world, we have student loan debt? Come on. When all of these other countries have free public college, they have, and many of them are testing now, universal basic income, healthcare that works for people, so they don't have to worry about if they lose a job, they have healthcare. And meanwhile, if they lose a job, they're also protected with unemployment for almost a year or longer. What I fear is that we keep repeating the cycle. We think that getting a Biden in there is the end of it. And then, yay, we're all going to cheer and we're going to feel better. It's not going to happen. So we need to continue to press these people. We need to continue to call them out on it. We need to continue to report the types of stories that matter, which is what I'm trying to do on this show. I'm going to ruffle feathers. I'm going to piss people off, and that's fine. If I'm not pissing people off, I'm not doing my job. So when you support this show, you support independent journalism, you become a channel member of this show, you're not going to see this on CNN, you're not going to see this on Fox, you're not going to see this on MSNBC or CNBC or anywhere else. They're not going to cover it. No, because the types of questions you'll get is this garbage.
The opportunity to address this, because at the Republican National Convention, yeah, President Trump made the case that Joe Biden is going to be nothing more than a Trojan horse for socialist policies, for the left wing of the Democratic Party. Are you going to push those policies when you're vice president of the United States?
I am not going to be confined.
Are you a socialist? Because that's a Republican talking point. And I just want to echo what Republicans say, not be a free-thinking independent journalist. So thank you for supporting this show. Thank you to the many thousands of you who tune in and make this a part of your morning. I'll continue to cover the business stories that I think matter to real Americans, not Wall Street types. I'll continue to try to help you navigate this investing world so that you're not enriching Wall Street, but instead helping yourself. All I want is for my viewers to live a comfortable life. I was sitting there the other day and I said, what is the goal of my show? What is it? And it's, I want you to be millionaires. It's not what I want. I want you to live comfortably. I want you to be able to live comfortably and not have to worry that you don't have a place to live, not have to worry that you don't have a job and that you can't pay your bills and you don't have health care. I want you to be able to learn how to invest without being ripped off by Wall Street. And so that's what we're up against. And that's what this show is all about. So when you become a channel member here, if you go to morninginvest.com/join, you're supporting independent journalism. And you're supporting our show. So this message hopefully will resonate and get, you can share this with as many people as you want. I would love for you to share this with as many people as you can. Ruffle their feathers a little bit. You know a Trump supporter out there? You know a Biden supporter out there? Send them this video. See what they say. And I would love to hear their comments in the comments below because I read them all. So thank you so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. J. Nikki says, I love your show, but it reminds me that I'm unfortunately way too bright to blend in with average Trump-loving, Biden-supporting Americans. Sigh. hey, then you're welcome right here. You know, you can like Biden. My wife has interviewed him. I interviewed him when I worked in Philadelphia, Good Day Philadelphia, because he's, you know, that's his kind of neck of the woods. Nice guy. You know, I don't have to, I don't agree with his policies. I think he has an opportunity to bring real change to this country. And by the way, most Americans support the things that I support: universal health care, free public college, ending our foreign wars. You know, people are, how are you going to pay for that? I got an idea. Don't go to war. Don't be in a 19-year war in Afghanistan. That's how you pay for public college. Other countries do it. They don't spend endless time in wars. That's how they do it. And they're prosperous, have a higher life expectancy. They have higher math and reading and test scores. We can't figure it out. We're the greatest country in the world. Start believing that. Thank you guys. Love you guys. I love you guys tuning in. Let's educate our people. That's what this show is for. Much love to all of you. Man, we went long today. Hey, it's a weekend. I was backed up. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Philip. Thanks, everyone. Bye now.